your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome to Emmy season here at the Podcast Olympic in Bundy. I can't wait to introduce my guests. All right, so we're talking all things Emmys. It's the year 2019. It is the 71st Emmys. I'm excited to hear from my guests who have a little bit of history. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Bryce Zabel. I was the chairman and CEO of the TV Academy in 2001 when 9/11 hit.
Okay, we're going to talk about that serious moment in the in Hollywood Times.
A lot of fun times to go with it, yeah. Too. And my wife, Jackie, is with me, and we are writer-producers here in Hollywood.
Say hi, Jackie.
Hey, everybody. So glad to be here with you and talk Emmy. It's such an exciting time of year.
Let me just ask you, for people who are not in the biz, why do the Emmys matter?
The Emmys matter because television tells us who we are as a country. Television, since the first Emmys back in 1949, has been something people love to watch TV. I mean, who among us doesn't watch a lot of TV?
Exactly. That's why I say everyone's into the Emmys.
Everybody's into it. And there is the horse race aspect of it, and that's always fun. But there's also the aspect of just seeing what's being made. And right now, we are living in a time where more television is being made this year in 2019 than any other year ever before in the history of television.
The Emmys celebrate excellence, and my goodness, looking at this ballot right now, there is so much excellence to celebrate, more TV than ever before being made, and such high-quality shows and format breakers, inventive people, just so much to celebrate.
Okay, where did you get that ballot? Because I want one.
Before we came down here, I printed it off of, I think, Vanity Fair. And in fact, it's kind
it's
a cottage industry this time of year where everybody prints their ballots and then you sit and fill out your ballot as you go on, which is kind of it's a fun thing at a party. But it's also good because the truth is there are more nominees than before because it used to be limited to 5 nominees. Right. Now you can have more. And some of them, like,
is
our
up
drama
to 8?
I think so. And we're up to 8, I think, on drama series this year, for example.
All right. So 2019, a lot of fun because, you know, the Emmys are airing on Fox, of course. I work for Fox. I'm a news anchor here at Fox 11. And we're excited to host the Emmys. My colleague and I, Alex Michelson, will be on the red carpet at 2 p.m. Usually I'm in my pajamas or my sweats with the popcorn.
But not this year.
Yeah. And you guys have been to how many Emmys?
We are up to 22 in a row now.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
And it's the same and different every time. There's always an interesting energy of the people who attend. And if the weather cooperates, sometimes it's so hot that they gave out personal fans one year, I remember, just to try to cool everybody off.
I hear it's going to be nice, not overly scorching hot, but not necessarily cool.
Perfect.
We when I was chairman, we had one Emmys where it was close to 100 degrees on the red carpet.
Oh, my.
And they had failed to turn the AC on for the governor's ball early. You have to almost start it 24 hours in advance.
So everyone's
by the time
dying.
People got to the governor's ball, it was like 90 degrees in the governor's ball.
Melting.
There must be a reason for those ice sculptures at the bar.
Yes.
Jackie and I have an entire collection of photos. I think this was 2002 where – we can't show them to anybody because we're both just melting. Our hair is matted.
You and everybody else, though.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We were all in it. It was crazy.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I've never actually covered the Emmys there on the red carpet, so it's a first for me.
Oh, great.
But I was deciding, what kind of dress do I wear? Because one that I have picked out is a little bit heavy. I'm thinking, am I going to be hot at 2 p.m.?
You will be hot at 2 p.m., but you should still go with the thing. Here's what I always tell
go
people.
Go for it.
Be comfortable and feel good about what you're wearing because let's face it, you want to feel good. You're on the red carpet. You're having a good time. Go with whatever you got. Now, men, it's kind of easier for men. We get the same tux out every year
Aren't
and put it on.
Aren't you all hot in the tux, though?
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But,
One year, I think the year we met Jeff Bezos, there was a pre-red carpet sort of lounge where everybody could do hair and makeup, and that was really exciting.
AC, full of AC.
And we're just talking to Jeff Bezos and his mom, who's also named Jackie.
Okay, so where was he in his career when it comes to putting up media?
He was only the third richest man in the world at that time.
Only that's it.
And since he met us, he's now the first richest man. We're not taking
You're
any credit.
Charm.
Just,
okay, Christine,
just
you're
letting
next.
You know. No, he was, interestingly enough, during that conversation, I actually said to him, you know, you ought to buy the Emmys. And by that, I meant Amazon could have bid to be the host of the Emmys. And he was very interested in that.
Okay.
But as it turns out, there is still, to this day, and it may change in the future, an interest in keeping the Emmys among the broadcast networks. So we're on Fox right now.
Right.
And what traditionally has happened with the Emmys, it goes in a wheel between CBS, NBC, Fox, and ABC.
It was on Fox one of the years you had.
It was. Back in 2003, okay. It was on Fox. And that was this year, 2019, is a hostless Emmys, mm-hmm. and so was the 2003 Emmys.
All right, so Jackie, you've seen hosts and hostless, which means that there are a lot of presenters. Do you have a preference?
When you have a good host, it moves things quite along, and it's so fun to have somebody have their stamp on the Emmys. I remember one year Jimmy Kimmel was hosting, and it can be a long show, and all of a sudden in the middle of the show, he says, everybody, my mom taught me a few things, and one of them is to be a good host. We have packed you a lunch under your seat.
That was so cute.
And it was just adorable.
I don't know if it's actually true, but they insisted that his mom had made these peanut butter sandwiches.
All of them?
And
all
I actually
3,000?
I almost believe it because the truth is they were a little dry. But,
stop.
Yeah, but we liked them. They were great.
That was a neat moment.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of neat moments, I'm sure.
Oh, just so many special moments.
I don't know where we start.
I know. On and off the air. As you hit the red carpet, people, there's such a good energy, and people are open to talk to you and relaxed and feeling good. And Bryce, you know, a couple times has gone up and said, it's a good year to be you, which is always a great icebreaker.
That's kind
because
of my
it
opening.
Usually is.
Because if you see somebody on the red carpet and they're a nominee, it is really a good year to be you. And the truth is, not everybody can win, but that's why you'll never hear, well, sometimes you will, but you're not supposed to. You'll never hear someone say, and the winner is. It's always, and the Emmy goes to.
Because they're all winners.
Well, I think they are, though. I mean, let's face it.
Definitely. If they've gotten to that point in their career and they've turned in that kind of attention-worthy performance.
You look at that ballot in front of you right now.
Or skill.
Yeah,
these are pretty talented people.
You want everyone to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so paint a picture for me. As you get ready for the Emmys, how far out in advance do you kind of get ready? Do you binge watch the shows that you haven't seen?
Oh, that's a – well – the interesting about that is that, of course, for years they've been sending out – first, when we first joined the Academy, they sent VHS tapes out every year.
What are those?
Yeah.
And I don't even know.
Younger generation asks.
Which I don't even know. But then it turned into DVDs. And next year will be the first year where nothing is sent out and it's all streamed. Mm. But, yes, you do start early. The screeners, as we call them, come out sometime in fall. I mean, in spring, rather.
Because you have to vote.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're going to vote, every member of the Academy gets to vote on the programs. So you get to vote on best comedy.
All 24,000 members
get
to vote on the programs.
Right. Okay. And other than that, there are 30 peer groups, and you get to vote for your peer group. Now, Jackie and I are both in the writers' peer group, so we vote for the writing Emmys. And there's a number of categories. There's writing for drama, comedy, reality, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you have a lot of obligation to watch these shows, and it's a lot of TV. Yeah.
So, Jackie, you're not voting in, say, the acting categories then, correct?
Correct. Oh. And we pay attention to the writing categories. And sometimes a show can have multiple entries on, so you kind of have to think, well, which episode really captivated the audience and the excellence.
She's right about that. There is a strategy. If you're a producer or even a writer, if your category, say, was seven nominees in it, or and you have two from your show or three from your show. So, say, Game of Thrones have four people nominated in that
competing
category.
Against each other.
They could divide their vote. right?
Yeah.
So there is the strategic thing of wanting to suppress the other people. So, you know, there's a bit of a game theory to the whole thing. And yet at the end of the day, my experience tells me that more often than not, you honor the right show at the right time because it's caught the wave.
So being a voting member in the spring, you start getting your product to make sure that you have watched these certain shows, the nominees.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you find yourself, though, all year long knowing that you're so involved with the Emmys, that you're kind of watching stuff that's getting buzz?
We do watch year round. I just want to actually, the reality is you nominate yourself. In other words, shows and people can put themselves forward for nomination. And the first, what happens out of that is there is a vote, a paper ballot vote,
There's kind of a first round.
Right.
And that out gets of you that, the nominees.
So these nominees you're looking at on your ballot right now were selected by the vote of either their peer groups or the entire Academy. And at that point, then you have to have seen all of those before you're allowed to vote in that category.
You know, I've been a judge for the News Emmys, and it's a lot of fun because we judge another market. So I'll get another city's batch of submissions. It's really great to see other stories, other content, the difference in content. I've enjoyed being a judge.
It's
a little
great.
Bit time-consuming, but I've enjoyed it.
The Academy has struggled with judging over the years, and things have changed over the years. There were blue ribbon panels, and the trend has always been to expand it, to make it easier for more people to vote and to bring more people into it. So to answer your question from a minute ago is, Jackie and I are kind of on a year-long screening rotation.
That's what you do.
We do that. Yeah. We subscribe. God knows, I don't even want to know how much we pay for television because we have all the services
so
and everything.
Much. Yes.
And we watch constantly and we try to watch a few episodes of everything. And we're also writer-producers. I've created 5 shows of my own. And I will tell you, my experience is a lot of money goes into the pilot. So that always kind of looks real good. But shows tend not to sort of hit their stride or find themselves for a few episodes at the beginning. So we always try to give every show that, you know, is being talked about 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 views before you say, okay, I made up my mind about this show.
Well, look at a series like Schitt's Creek that is just now getting a lot of eyes on it from the viewers out around the country and the world because it's been on for a while, right, Jackie?
Yes, yes. And now it's starting to catch. Yeah. It's catching a wave and a trend. And
like Fleabag.
Yes, Fleabag is another one. I don't know if you've seen that show yet, Christine, but it's so much talent in that show.
Do I admit that I have not seen that one, but I'm going to see it? Binge watching everything I haven't seen.
It's a good show.
I hear so much about it, but like you say, there's so much media out there that I was even late to the game for Netflix.
Right.
And one of the Emmy top of the shows one year was, how can you possibly watch all of this? You know,
it
was
true.
No one wants to make anybody feel small because they can't get to it.
It's a challenge. And the Academy does make you sign something as you're voting online right now that says you have watched all the shows that you're voting on.
But you only have to watch the ones in the categories that you're eligible to vote
true.
On.
True, but in the program categories, so best drama, best comedy, best reality series, you're supposed to have watched all of them, and you actually have to sign off that you have. And if you haven't, then they route you to the screening room where you can look at something. So theoretically, you have a very informed audience making a decision.
And Emmys historically have been very important to the longevity of shows in that they start getting, you know, shows that were close to being canceled in old models would garner some Emmys.
Hill Street Blues.
Would find a new life.
Remember in 1981, Hill Street Blues was about to be canceled by NBC and because it came in something like 85th out of 93 series that year. And so NBC was like, well, this doesn't work.
No
but then
kidding.
They went to the Emmys and they won a number of Emmys, including Outstanding Drama Series, which gave them new life and about 7 or 8 extra years on the air.
I got to tell you, you know, being a person who's very busy myself, working a lot of
hours,
and I'm not home during prime time hours, so I miss a lot of the prime time programming. I do look to these nominees to see what people are talking about. Russian Doll. I see it, you know, on Netflix, the tease in the commercials.
Right.
And I hadn't taken time to watch the show. Finally watched it. Loved Russian Doll on Netflix. Love it. And they got a couple nominations.
Absolutely. It's a very hot show right now, and people are talking about it. Right. You look at some of these categories, and I know it's kind of, as I said, it's a parlor game for people to talk about who's going to win what. But the truth is, in all but a few cases, surprises can happen because we've opened up the academy. We've made there's more people voting and people are watching this stuff and there's better stuff. So every once in a while you get really surprised. And I would argue the Emmys are the best award out there. I like the Oscars.
You're not biased?
I am a little biased, but the Emmys reflect what America's talking about. They reflect what people think are the issues that affect us. So they reflect the diversity not only on camera, but they reflect the diversity in writing and producing and directing and stories. And so I think the more interesting award is the Emmy because it tells you about that. Whereas an Oscar, not again, I love the Oscars, mm-hmm. but the Oscars represent films, and film is increasingly bifurcated into the indie films or Avengers 42.
Right.
So
the big Christine, one of the great things too is you can binge.
Yes. I know.
That's a whole new thing.
That's a whole new thing.
Right? I'm like with my husband. Turn off the TV. We have to go to sleep. One more episode.
One more episode. Something that's being said across America every night, right. Many millions of times.
And as you go out to dinner with friends and they go, what are you watching now?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Communally.
I ask people that all year long. I'll be getting my teeth cleaned and I'll say to the hygienist, what's your favorite TV show? And we end up talking about it. I learn a lot about what people are watching. And interestingly enough, they aren't always the top ones that you're looking at. People find their television. And that's what's interesting about having over 400 series being produced right now.
Wow.
Nobody can watch them all. Yeah. None of us do. But all of them appeal to somebody.
Well, I love how Netflix lets you break it down by, you know, your channel versus somebody else in your family. And so clearly my husband and I have completely two different kind of lineups. I'm big into the comedies and the Crown, and he's into the shoot 'em up kind of things and the planet stuff and – yeah.
Well, we do that too, Jackie.
We do.
How would you describe our viewing habit?
I would say pretty similarly. Yeah. Christine and her husband. I tend to like the comedies, although I love our dramas, but The Crown.
He's into the Narcos. And you know, I'm like,
Downton Abbey. Okay. Yeah, yeah, all these great stuff.
Crown was a great show, though, and still is, and keeps evolving.
Yes.
And people are looking forward to come back. And in fact, what's interesting about some of those shows, it's nice when a show goes away that it doesn't qualify the next year and then comes back because that makes it more exciting.
That was interesting to me because I was – remember when the nominations came out, I'm like, what about The Crown? No nomination for The Crown or Big Little Lies or Stranger Things. But there's a reason for that this year.
That calendaring in the windows.
That makes it interesting. This will never happen, but if you really wanted an exciting Emmys, you would say if you won one year, you can't be nominated the next year. That would mean that you'd have a constant – churning,
change up.
And competition.
Oh, but then we're pulling for some of the repeats, aren't we? Barry, Bill Hader.
Barry
love
is
that
a
show.
Wow, right. That's a show. And I
we ran into Henry Winkler and we congratulated him. And he's so gracious and he was so proud.
It's a great show.
And yet another nomination for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Great show, a fun show, and the comedy. Well, you know, it's very trying to handicap these things again is a fool's errand most of the time, because now Veep is back. It's been off the air for a season, so it didn't win last year. Maisel did, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and yet we also have Barry, which is on the ascendancy right now, and we have Fleabag that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. So, do you go with your heart and say I want to bid a fond farewell to Veep, or do you say, you know what, we got to get the new energy out
there? That last
episode
of Veep was brilliance.
Oh yeah,
brilliance. The way they wrapped it up was just inspired.
And you know what? Funny, I'm a regular Veep watcher, and for some reason I didn't get to the last episode, so I watched it just this week. I'm like, oh, what happened? And it was a great ending. You're right. And that show's going to be no longer around, so it's going to be...
Which is interesting that you bring that up, Christine, because the endings of series play a role. So, for example, I think Game of Thrones is clearly going to win. I don't think there's too many people.
32 nominations.
They'll win something.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to win something.
Probably will win. Yeah. And yet, at the end of the day, there is a little bit of kickback over the fact that not every fan loved how they ended their show.
Right.
So it's possible somebody could sneak in, but not likely.
But Starbucks still loves them for leaving the cup in the
that
scene.
That little cameo, that's that coffee cup made.
Wow. I still, you know, just as a television producer, you sort of say to yourself, okay, they have so much money going into that show. How did that happen? And the only thing I can tell you is even bad TV is hard to make. I mean, you know, good TV is exceptionally hard to make. It requires so many things going right. Every once in a while, something gets through.
It had us all talking.
Yes.
For sure.
For sure.
Okay, so the nominations then come out. That's a lot of fun to see who got in, who didn't get in. So we're all talking about that in the summer, right? That happens
right
in the summer.
Yeah, because they announce in July who the nominees are. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's just a fun little story for me and Jackie because when you're the chairman, you are one of the announcers. And the thing is,
yeah, you announce at the top of
right
it, right? Yeah.
So the announcement had to get time for the East Coast. So literally, we would be up going to the TV Academy to announce with a couple of stars the nominees at like 5 a.m.
Yeah,
you're on the air.
Because it's always on our morning show, Good
right
Day LA.
Yeah. Right. Now, so I'm
working night shift, so I'm in my pajamas watching.
Yeah.
Got to get up early to watch the nominations.
And that was so much fun. And there's drama even that. Eric McCormick, for example, had won the Emmy.
Will and Grace.
Yes. And he had won the Comedy Emmy for his performance the year before. And so that made him one of the announcers that I was working with at 5 a.m. that year. And so the idea that as we read the nominations, that he wouldn't get a nomination was impossible.
Well,
and yet he did not that year.
That
and
happened.
He was so gracious. He was so gracious and wonderful and made a joke out of it. But it's like what I think is nice about that story is A, that he's such a great guy, but
yeah.
B, that it means occasionally you can be surprised by this.
Well, your actress who presented the nominations this year also didn't get a nomination,
that's,
right?
Yeah, I think that's
and
true.
Nobody
although
knows,
I'm not,
so you're,
yeah,
it's always a chance.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm blanking on
The Good Place.
Yes, I think you're right. That's true. Mm-hmm. And so that's what makes it kind of fun. Because you just
anything
think once in a while you get a surprise.
So if you're a nominee then, are you then the next day rushing out to meet up with your team? What are we going to wear?
Well, I think a lot of actor nominees, the performer nominees, worry about that. Here's a great story. Some nominees who are not the performers and the superstars, but are the people from creative arts, need to ask people what they should wear, because we were at a creative arts one
yes
year where a guy ran up to accept his win, and he was wearing a tuxedo. And as you know, tuxedos don't have belts. Usually men wear suspenders, but he had not put he had not gotten suspenders, and his pants fell down to his ankles while he was running on stage.
That's
so
a moment.
When I say anything could happen, I literally mean it.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Well, how fun.
You think of them for women, but men can happen too.
Yep.
That's true.
Well, how fun to be getting ready for the Emmys. It's got to be so exciting for people who are in this business. And, you know, I tell people, because sometimes I've heard people say in the public, oh, it's just stars congratulating themselves.
No.
I had a great appreciation for the industry when I had a script idea.
Yeah.
I work a lot with kids in foster care and had a story idea about a kid in foster care. And I knew exactly how I wanted the story brought to life and who I wanted to play those kind of characters. It meant so much that you get the right casting for that concept.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I had new appreciation for everything that goes into a show.
And if I could for just a moment, I mean, we do hear that stars congratulating themselves kind of thing. But for anyone who says that didn't live through the 9/11 Emmys like Jackie and I did, where we didn't hear anybody acting out in that regard. We saw people wanting to do the right thing. We saw people
definitely
that were hurting just like everyone else in America. Mm-hmm. We didn't see any actors or performers who thought they
were. Actors can serve as role models. We ran into the late Gregory Peck at an event, and he gave us a beautiful quote. He'd been through World War II and had really been a role model during difficult times in the country. And what did he say?
Well, this
exactly
was right after 9/11, and we were doing a special with Gregory Peck in the Academy Theater. And so Jackie and I got to meet with him personally. And I said, well, you know, Mr. Peck, if you were walking down the red carpet today, what would you say? And he thought about it only a few seconds, and he said, and this is such a great quote. He said, I would be sober but not somber with a twinkle in my eye to assure everyone it was going to be all right. Mm. And I just thought, wow, I wish I could come up with stuff like that. I mean, it was just brilliant, and it was credit authentic. To him as a person, very authentic.
You know, for our listeners, in case you don't know the full backstory on this, 9/11 happened. The Academy was supposed to have the Emmys five days later.
Yeah.
The mood, it just wasn't right.
No.
It wasn't right to be.
People who died on the plane were coming to the Emmys.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I can just give you a quick little run on how
that
went down.
Yeah, because you were chairman at the time.
I had just been elected a few weeks before. Mm-hmm. And when 9/11 hit and we had an Emmy Award 5 days in the future from that, what you have to do, the Academy doesn't make these decisions by itself. It makes it with broadcast partners. So, for example, that would be Fox this year. Mm-hmm. And Fox has been working with the Academy on this year's awards. That year it was CBS, so it meant that we had to get on the phone with our partners at CBS. And everyone sort of pulled their own delegations, and it was unanimous and fast. It was like, well, you're not doing them on September 16th. Nobody wants to be on a red carpet. Nobody wants to be in a gown and a tuxedo.
We were in wall-to-wall news coverage, so, and rightly so.
So we got through that.
But let me just back up. So America had been attacked by terrorists, the World Trade Center taken down, planes flown into buildings, 3,000 people died. America, you know, just... The whole nation felt very pulling together, somber, sad, heartbroken,
no appetite,
devastated, scared.
Right.
Right. So then you set a date for when you are going to have the Emmys.
And there was a big discussion about when that would be.
Yeah.
Because remember, this was unheard of, obviously. And
everything changed. We ended up in New York about a month afterwards, and people, as you recall, didn't want to get on planes. Mm-hmm. And the economy in New York was suffering, and everything was just very, very different.
I had to fly a couple days after that happened, and it was so quiet.
Yes.
You could hear a pin drop. We just sat there, got to from A to B, with not anyone making a sound on that flight. You could feel it. It was thick in the air.
So there was a debate.
Yeah.
Frankly, the CBS partners said, let's go early, and the Academy said, let's go a little bit later. But there was also the problem of the Shrine Auditorium where we held them and whether we could get it for rent again. Mm-hmm. We ultimately compromised on October 7, and of course on October 7, as we've said, we invaded Afghanistan that day, and that was another cancellation because we called around to the people who were the nominees and said, what do you plan to do today? And most of them said, I'm staying home with my family.
Yeah.
And so there's really no reason to give an award nobody wants to get. So we postponed again.
And of course, Afghanistan was the home to the Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Yeah.
They had their camps there in Afghanistan. And so the U.S. launched attacks against Afghanistan. So basically, we were at war.
Yeah. And the thing is, people have asked over the years, and I think it's a really good question, what would we do now in the same kind of situation? Would we do any different? And I think my take is a little nuanced on that because having lived through it, and Jackie probably the same, I think clearly if something terrible happened and you had an Emmy show 5 days away, you probably would cancel that. But the October 7th idea, I think – America has traveled a distance in how we think about terrorism and how we deal with it. And I think we probably would have made a different decision in hindsight. We'd say, you know, we're doing it on October 7th. I hope you can come. And if you can, if not, we understand. And just go on because life has to go on. That was what Gregory Peck was talking about. Life goes on. They had Oscar shows during World War II, and there were casualties mounting up at a massive rate at that time, and yet they still had the Oscars. They still walked their own – it wasn't the red carpet at the time, but they still went on with it.
So you finally then set yet another date. So when did the Emmys happen? November?
November 4th, 2001.
Instead of September, it happened in November. Okay.
Right. And a different venue at the Schubert Theater, which no longer exists.
And it was a smaller event in concept.
Yeah.
And tone.
We changed a couple of key things. First, we said, let's dress down. Now, let's not do the bling. Let's not do that. Let's go with cocktail attire as opposed to the tuxedos and the evening gowns.
I think what I wore was a black pantsuit.
Right.
And everybody at that time in 9/11 was very patriotic, and I had found this beautiful sort of blingy red, white, and blue flag handbag.
Patriotic
in New York,
blend.
Because I wanted to support New York. And so I brought that, and it got on the cover of the LA Times.
Yeah, it was crazy.
My handbag, because it was a sentiment.
Did you feel a togetherness with your community at that event?
I think we all did. We did something else that was unusual. We asked everyone to not have the after parties that they normally have. So what happens in normal days, and will happen this year, people will come out of the Emmys and they'll go to the Governor's Ball, and it's the greatest party around that a lot of people leave early on, because a lot of the actors will go to the HBO party or the whatever party. But we asked them not to do that in 2001. So everyone stayed at the Governor's Ball, and we all sort of came together as a entertainment industry. And
with gratitude at being a live event and finally getting the Emmys.
I was so proud to see how people dealt with that. I thought Ellen, by the way, not only was she funny,
Ellen
but
DeGeneres.
She was. Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres. She was so heartfelt, and she was the perfect host for that year, and everything turned out really, really well, given the givens.
All right, so let's move on. And yeah. I love that you brought up Ellen DeGeneres, because what a career she has had. A nominee now this year. She's something, isn't she?
She's the gift that keeps on giving.
Totally. What a talent.
Yeah.
Ellen let's bridge to Ellen today. But in 2001, she had a real challenge, because she literally wrote a different show. She was in charge of the writing staff for that show. She wrote one show, then it got canceled. She wrote another one, that got canceled, and she wrote another one. And she got the tone right all the time. Remember, she came out and said she was the Taliban's worst nightmare, a lesbian in a pantsuit, right? Mm-hmm. And which was very funny. And and it was the right thing to do. And as you said, she was already a star, a superstar, but now she's a superstar.
Yeah, and she was up, I know, at least this year for her game show.
Yes.
Have you seen that game show?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
It is. And it's another example of, there's just a lot of TV. There's some people that won't watch scripted, and there's some people that won't watch reality, and then there's people that watch all of it. There's just a lot of TV. Yeah. But if you watch that show, you'll say, that's good TV.
She's just so fun and warm and wonderful. And if you want to get slimed or stuff thrown on you, or go on that game show. Okay, so we have all these categories. I'm looking here at the 2019 Emmy ballot. I've actually got the Emmy book, which is gorgeous.
Oh, it is.
Gorgeous. Okay, so it's going to be at the Microsoft Theater. Have you been to the theater for an Emmys?
Many times.
Yeah.
Interestingly, during my term, one of the things that we did is it wasn't called the Microsoft Theater. Then it was the Nokia Theater.
Yes.
And they hadn't built it yet. Okay. And what the Nokia Theater people were looking for was they needed an award show to anchor it so that they could go raise the rest of the money to build it. And so it was a big deal during my term. We got the Board of Governors together, and we agreed to sign a contract to do the Emmys at the Nokia Theater for a number of years, which allowed them to build it. And now, of course, it's become the Microsoft. But it's the home of the Emmys. The Shrine was for many years, but now it's the Microsoft Theater.
Yeah. And the balls changed a bit. Okay. I think what the Emmy party planners, and they are amazing at what they do, they decided that everybody likes a cocktail party. And so instead of a formal ball at a lot of seated tables, everybody is sort of has a base station, but there's food stations everywhere, and you're free to just talk to everyone.
When you go to something like that, do you feel like you know everybody?
No.
No?
I mean, I feel like I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
there's familiar faces, but what's fun, I guess, is the idea that you could talk to anyone.
Well, that's what's great about it.
They're thinking, if you got in the door, you must be okay to talk to.
Yes. I think that's very
they
true.
They let you in.
That's very true. Just it's full of these sort of warm little moments. Here's a great example. 2001, Bradley Whitford wins his first Emmy. And because I'm the chairman, they take a picture of me and Bradley Whitford. And he's so happy because he's got his first Emmy. It's fantastic. So I see him at the governor's
We've been scanning our older pictures because we live in a wildfire zone and we don't want to lose any of this.
Right.
So we've been scanning. And Bryce had just scanned the picture of him and Bradley Whitford, from 2001.
And so see Bradley at the governor's ball. I call up this picture. I walk up to him and I go, remember your first Emmy? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I turn my phone to him and show him the picture. And he's like, oh, my God. And he immediately emails it to himself. And then he and I recreate the same picture with his third Emmy.
Oh,
and it was just like one of those fun little moments. Yeah. So, yeah, you don't know everybody there, but you know a lot of people there. And because we've been going for so many years, we have a lot of good friends.
Oh, and then there was one time when Bryce went to go congratulate Jon Stewart.
Oh, this is...
And what he won, how many in a row? Maybe 10 in a row. And we were...
Remember, Stewart kept winning and Stephen Colbert kept losing. This was a thing for 10 years.
Stephen Colbert, who's a nominee again.
Right. Yeah. And it was for the Colbert Report that he kept losing. Kept losing. Every year he'd be nominated. Every year Jon Stewart would win it. And he had lost again. So I went over to Jon Stewart because we'd met at various Emmys and just congratulated him on winning. I think it was his ninth Emmy. And my daughter was with me. And I said, do you mind if my daughter Lauren takes a photo? He said, no problem. So Jon Stewart and I are standing there taking this photo. And we take the picture. Lauren and I go back to our table to look at it. And I'm, of course, worried. I'm my eyes are closed or whatever. I've only got one shot. It's terrible. But we look at this thing. It's a pretty good picture of me and Jon. And then we go, who is that guy behind him? And it's Colbert photobombing us.
I love it.
And it became BuzzFeed's one of their top 10 photobombs of the year.
Love it.
And these are just the kind of little fun little things that happen, little moments.
Yeah. And then to see the new faces, the new nominees, the new winners, that's got to be so exciting.
And the exciting thing that Jackie and I have enjoyed so often is being able to talk to somebody who has won their first Emmy. Because they're seeing that, they're seeing the show, they're seeing the governor's ball, they're seeing the respect that goes with being honored for their excellence, and they are lit up like a Christmas tree with a smile.
So to win an Emmy, as we kind of bring this up, chat to a little bit of a close and get ready for the Emmys. To win an Emmy means what for their career? Whether it's a show or
individual? It's a definite milestone. It's just a great affirmation from peers and people who do what you do. And there's no greater compliment.
I mean, speaking as a former chairman, I'll take an even more positive thing. I think it's a fantastic thing because the Emmy means you're excellent. It means that your peers think you're excellent. It means that whatever you've been doing and whatever insecurities you have brought to your work are now resolved.
Insecurities? who has that?
I'd like to point out on this podcast that Christine has won 16 Emmys.
And okay? I'd like to point out also deservedly I'm on every day, all year long, for many years.
So it's a lot of chances. You know what it's like. Now, let me ask you a question. You've got 16. How did you feel on that first Emmy?
I think the Emmy that stood out to me, well, two of them. One was when Fox 11 finally won Best Newscast.
Yes.
You know, we'd been through a lot as a growing network, and then we had a team in place with a veteran anchor, John Beard, and Rick Garcia, and Mark Thompson, and we just kind of felt like it solidified us as a team.
Yes. Yeah. And that's – well, that's a nice story. And now let's take that and – talk about the primetime entertainment Emmys. The same thing happens that just happened to you and your coworkers on the newscast happens on a series. In other words, it may be that your series didn't win, but one of your actors won, but you all feel the win. Yeah. You're all sitting together at the Emmys. You've got a few Emmys on the table. Everybody's pumped up. It's one of the greatest nights of your life.
Okay, and then my other moment is I received the Governor's Award for the work with Wednesday's Child, which is helping kids in foster care to get adopted. And I thought anybody willing to help shout out the message and promote the message is a win for the kids in foster care.
It totally is.
So like you said, for a show, it could give new voice, new life to the show.
Yes. Yeah. The Emmy shines a light on people.
Exactly.
All right? And it shines a light on people. It shines a light on writing. It shines a light on ideas. And the light that it shines is a powerful, powerful thing. Wednesday's Child is a great example. And there's examples when Transparent, for example, won an Emmy a few years ago. That's, by the way, when we were talking to Jeff Bezos, because I think he was there because his Amazon show, Transparent, had been nominated. And when it won, I believe it won, did it? Yeah, it won. And that was a moment speaking toward diversity and equality.
A big moment, a trans character.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't see that before.
Yeah, so there's there are moments where you see
cultural milestones.
Yes, it's the cultural shift that the Emmy is marking, and you're part of that history. It's nice.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the nominees, thinking of shows that I was introduced to because of the Emmy nomination.
Very good point. Yeah. Many people, well, and in fact, if you think about it, we live in a time where curation is everything. And in other words, you can't do everything. Yeah. You have to have people help curate what you're going to watch. The Emmy is the ultimate curator. And right. In other words, if you know there's 437 shows that are being produced, the chance that you're going to watch all of them is almost zero, right? But then you're going to watch the ones that won the Emmys for sure or were nominated because somebody else has already vouched for how good they are.
And for anybody who thinks the Emmys, that's not for me, think about your life. I mean, the minute I wake up, I turn on the TV.
Yeah.
I come home from work, I want to catch my late night show before I go to bed. I'm in my comfies just wanting to do some binge watching. I binge watch my favorite shows. My husband flies on a plane for a long flight. He downloads his shows to watch. I mean, we all are watching media in different ways, though, in this day and age.
To sort of a side issue to the Emmys that Jackie and I have noticed, because it affects our careers too, is there are many, many more buyers than there used to be. Mm-hmm. There are many, many more ways of getting television into the before the eyeballs of the viewer than there ever used to be. I mean, think about it.
Been hired to write a pilot about Los Angeles in the 1920s called No City for Angels.
Oh, how fun.
With fun. George Hamilton.
Who raised the money for it, which is fantastic. But, you know, in 1920s, they didn't even have radio yet, yeah. Right? They were just getting radio. So think about that.
Hollywood was very formative stages.
The story of Hollywood and the story of Emmys is also a story of technology,
yes.
Right? Each new technology redefines how we tell the stories to ourselves. But here's what I love about the Emmys. It doesn't matter what the technology is. We still like to tell stories to each other.
Well, remember, cable wasn't even a part of the Emmys at first. They had their own awards.
The Cable Ace Awards.
Right,
I remember. That was a big deal where the Emmys reached out and the two sides came together and said it's kind of silly to make that distinction. However, it is one of the reasons there's a board of governors at the TV Academy, because making distinctions and trying to figure out, is this a real category? Did this change in the last year? I mean, is streaming the same as broadcasting? You know, we have gone from a time where people had three broadcast networks. And what people watched at that time, I call it the least objectionable programming. If you go, it's 8 o'clock at night. There are three things to watch.
You're going
to watch the thing that sucks the least, right? Okay. Now we live in a world where you can watch anything pretty much on demand, which means you have no reason to watch something that you consider to be bad, ever.
So think of this. You have HBO with the most nominations, Game of Thrones, help.
Yep.
Yes.
Netflix right there, a streaming service. All right, so you have cable, streaming, airing on Fox, a network. I think we got it covered.
Yeah.
You know, we were recently at a Writers Guild event, and the analyst was saying, there's never been a content boom like this before, and there's going to be a streaming war. And guess what? We have the bullets, you know, because we're writers and we can create this content. So it's a very, very good time for the industry.
Which is why I will be continuing to be binge watching the next few days, make sure I got everything in. All right, Jackie Bryce, thank you so much. You want
to
give any last thought about the Emmys?
I think everybody should enjoy them, and I encourage everyone to just have fun and to actually realize that we today live in the real golden age of television. We like to think that it was in the past and there was great television in the past, but right now is the first time in history where you can find something that perfectly fits what defines you as a human being and what you want to watch, and you can watch it where you want to watch it, on the screen you want to watch it, and you can watch it when you want to watch it. It's never been better.
Well, I'm hoping you'll want to watch the Emmys on Fox.
Watch this.
5 p.m. Sunday, September 22nd. Our pre-show is on at 2 p.m. with myself, Christine Devine, and Alex Michelson. And we'll see you Sunday.
We'll see you on the Emmys.
You got it.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.